Welcome to another audio life of an Irish politician. I've met again with John Gilroy here in Cafe Bevan in Cork, and I'm about to talk to him about what it's like to be an Irish politician. But look, beforehand, I have to explain that I came into the cafe, and what did I see on the desk in front of me but the taxation summary, Finance Act 2010. It's an inch thick, if not more. It's the Irish Tax Series 2011. John Gilroy, what on earth are you doing walking around with this, please?
I don't know rightly, Paul, what I'm doing walking around with it. Tomorrow, the Finance Act, or the Finance Bill, is coming into the Senate. The Finance Bill gives expression to what the Minister of Finance announced in the budget last December.
Oh, so the budget can't go into practice unless the Finance Bill is passed?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, a lot of the sections of the finance, of the budget, have already been enacted from the 1st of January. But the finance, this part of the Finance Bill gives expression to the taxation side of it.
Okay, right. So we can't be taxed without you you voting.
Well, you can be taxed all right, Paul. This is just to give expression to it.
Okay, whatever that means. Anyway, look, this thing is over an inch thick, John. I don't want to get bogged down in it, but do you intend to read this?
Well, this is my Bible now since Christmas. I'm the finance spokesperson in the Senate for the Labour Party. And like I said, the bill is coming into the Senate tomorrow. It's been through the Dáil. There's been some amendments to it. We'll be discussing again, probably not making more amendments to it, but certainly scrutinising this again to make sure that it is exactly as the Minister had proposed it should be. It's all day tomorrow, and it's all day on Thursday as well. So this is really the highlight of the year for finance spokespeople.
And do you work with Joan Burton? No, I only know a little bit about this. Joan Burton, is she the Labour's?
No, Joan is the
Oh, she's
Labour
in the cabinet.
She's the Labour. She's the Minister for Social Protection. This is Minister Noonan and Minister Brendan Howland, who are the Minister of Public Sector Reform and Finance. So yeah, we'd be working very closely with their offices, not particularly with the Minister now. The Minister, we'd have access to the Minister, absolutely no question about that, but it's really with his officials that we'd be dealing with.
So you talk to their officials?
Yeah, all the time, yeah.
All right. Anyway, look, what do you want to... Okay, that's one thing. Let's put that aside, because it's too early in the day to get bogged down in taxation.
Good idea. It's always a bad time to be bogged down in taxation.
Look, as you know, we're doing this series, and we're only at the beginning of, moving it off into the long term, but we're going to sustain it. And one of the things I think we better confront right up front, because of the debate that's going on in Ireland, is, should the Senate exist? Now, you're a senator, right? So I'm presuming that you're going to tell me in a second all the great reasons why you should be, why the Senate should exist. But, come on, cut to the chase. Does Ireland need or not need a second parliamentary place? Or could we all usefully save a load of money and put it into giving poor people a better life?
Well, if the argument is about should we try and get rid of the Senate to save some money, Paul, I wouldn't even entertain that as an argument, because democracy costs money. So if it's a money-saving exercise we're at, that's not a good reason to get rid of the Senate. If people can tell me another good reason to get rid of the Senate, I'll certainly engage in an argument. The Senate as it exists at the moment should be abolished. There is no question about that. The Senate, it's not doing the work that it's supposed to do. I'm not talking about this particular Senate now, I'm talking about the Senate before this one. It has no role, has no function, has no clear mandate. There's everything wrong with it. That's not to say that we don't need a Senate. We certainly do. And we need a Senate that's reformed. And this current Senate is making some embryonic steps towards reform. In the regard,
reforming itself.
Reforming itself. But there's three things need to be done to reform a Senate. And one thing is a reform of standing orders, which the Senate itself has control of. Its own standing orders we can control. The next thing...
Is that the thing that, for example, controls the fact that, instead of starting work at what I would regard as sensible time, like at 9 o'clock in the morning and finishing at 5 o'clock in the evening, the Senate... Does the Senate have control of things like that?
It certainly does, but... there's a whole new argument, a whole different argument around that, Paul. Just that the Senate is sitting at a particular time doesn't mean the work isn't been done. This is Patrick's weekend. Since last Thursday night when I arrived back from Dublin, from the Senate, I've been stuck in this book, Paul, this taxation summary and the Finance Act, about 12 hours every day, including St. Patrick's Day. So to say that I'm not working just because the Senate isn't sitting misses the whole point. if we were to only work when the Senate sits, there'd be nothing done. So, yes, that's standing orders, Paul. There's a lot of things that we can reform around standing orders, and the Senate has done quite a lot with regard to that. The next thing that needs change is legislative change, but the Senate doesn't have control of its own legislation. That legislation has been initiated at all. And the third thing, then, is constitutional change. And that.
So you mean no senator could actually organise herself or himself to put forward a draft bill and introduce it into the Senate, is that correct?
You can, but it must be accepted in principle initially by the sponsoring minister. So it's up to the minister. The Senate can't introduce legislation unless the minister is going to accept it. It's as simple as that. So to be sensible, you must ascertain in advance whether the minister is going to accept in principle this legislation, or you're wasting your time.
Is that the same as the UK? Can the House of Lords the same as the Senate in the House, that respect? I don't know the answer now to this.
The House of Lords is even less legislative functions than Senate Éireann, although it is the final court of arbitration in the UK. That's the difference between...
Okay. Right, well, right. So look, I hear the arguments why the Senate should be reformed, but I'm more interested in you in a way. Why, John, did you, after you had narrowly missed getting elected to the Dáil, why did you pick yourself up, dust yourself down, and drive off around Ireland in a effectively successful campaign to get yourself elected to the Senate? Why didn't you just retire gracefully and represent the local people in Glanmire?
Yeah, I could do that, Paul. I could have that as one option. I lost out by 54 votes, I think it was, ultimately in the general election, and I spent a day feeling sorry for myself, but the following day we had to be on the road to get involved in the Senate campaign. Look, I'm a political animal, Paul, simple as that. I'm involved in politics. I think I have something to offer at national level. And the Senate, I must be honest, before the general election, I didn't consider the Senate hardly at all.
Did you really not have it as a secret backup plan that if I don't get elected to the Dáil, right, I'll run for the Senate?
Well, Paul, I'm going to be honest with you now. It never entered my mind that I wouldn't be elected. And that's the honest truth. I was way ahead of myself. I believed in all my own old guff and propaganda. And even though
you actually thought you were going to win.
Oh, isn't it?
Here was I sitting across the table for you. Now, I was in suspended disbelief, right? I had no idea. I'm not. But you're the politician.
Oh, I was way ahead of myself, Paul. And I'll tell you, I said this before and I'll say it again. It was the best kick in the arse you could ever get is to lose an election, because it dispels hubris and it brings you back to earth as quick as anything you could possibly imagine. So it's a great thing to lose an election, Paul.
And that's a great phrase, dispel hubris. I think we should set up a website or something like that called Dispel Hubris, because come on, is there any nitty-gritty detailed story you can tell me about the turning point where you said, okay, I am getting out of bed?
Well, as I said, the election was on Friday, the count was on Saturday. I knew at 1 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning that I wasn't elected. Came home, had a few drinks, I can tell you that. Woke up.
What did you drink, by the way?
Well,
what was your drink of choice?
Jameson is what we like the best, and too much of it sometimes. But what we did was the following day, luckily for me, I trained some soccer teams. You'll remember that from the last series of audio booze we did. And both the teams that I was training were playing the following day, so that kept me distracted from my own self-pity. And then Monday morning, woke up, and my advisors were saying, you must go for the Senate. And I said, yeah, okay, yeah, it's fine. But there was a meeting, or a celebration, or a victory celebration in Dublin that night, Monday night.
Because Labour had done so well.
Best result in our history. And my advisor was saying, you need to be at that. And I says, well, there's one place I won't be, and that's there. Because there's nothing, Paul, there is nothing worse than being a loser among winners. There's no question about that. And that's what I was. I went there, miserable.
Oh, you went?
Oh, I did, I'm afraid, yeah. And I was miserable, Paul. And I was like a dark cloud arriving into the room, because everyone who was there were successful. And here I was going around the room like some sort of miasma. And
did they all shun you?
No, they did not. They were much more polite than that, you know. Very, very. It's nearly worse. It kind of felt a bit patronised, you know. Oh, isn't it awful? Hard luck. It's terrible. So anyway, that was that. The following morning was Tuesday morning. The Senate campaign was starting. Went down to the Labour Party office. Got a list of the.
You decided. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Have to.
Was there a particular moment, like were you brushing your teeth, when you said, okay, finally the tipping point has been reached. I'm going for it.
Look, it meant getting involved in national politics, this was the only option open to me, Paul. It was not, there was no eureka moment here. This was just when you're not successful in one place, you have to have a look at the other. So it's not that I have any great political ambition myself, to be honest. I just really think that I have something to offer at national level in politics. I wrote the community arts policy for the Labour Party. I'm involved in a lot of suicide prevention work and suicide awareness work, and I really think that I can bring this knowledge into national politics. That's the reason I'm in politics.
So you went for it?
Went for it. Got the list of delegates from head office in the Labour Party. And
these are the people with votes, is
with,
it?
With votes the for voters. The nomination.
Oh,
for the nomination. There's two processes. So I drove.
Look, I tell you what, the audio is already okay. Fairly long.
Yeah.
I know full well that if you were to explain to me and to the listeners the intricacies of the Irish the Irish Senate, right, we'll be here for another 10 minutes. So I'm going to spare everybody.
Perfect.
Right? It's not that I'm not interested, and actually on another day we'll do an audio, which is purely you can explain it. Is that all right?
That's fine, Paul. That's a good idea.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, look, back to your taxation summary. Are you going to give a speech tomorrow in the Senate?
There'll be an introduction speech. The Minister of Finance will be in the Senate. All the spokespeople for the parties on finance will have an introductory speech, and then we'll go through the Finance Act, nearly 300 pages, section by section.
Now, you'll be on. You will actually be able to be seen live streamed, won't you?
Live streamed on the
Eroptus.ie.
But there's a UPS channel as well. Which
well, there's the, live streaming, yeah. And actually I've discovered this for another project that I'm involved in. I discovered that, in fact, the live streaming of the Senate, and I presume the live streaming of the Dáil, but I've only watched the live streaming of the Senate, is the most terrific service available to citizens.
But not widely known, Paul.
Okay, we'll talk about it another day.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
Look, John Gilroy, thanks a million.
That's right.
All the best with your 1.5 inches of stuff.